The pasuk in Parshas Bo, referring to the Shelyad, tells us the Hayalachala Os Al Yadcha should be for a sign on your arm. It's spelled Yad Keha. It's spelled Yud Dalid Chaf Hey, not Chaf Sofit, but Chaf Hey, to tell you that it's Yad Keha. You put it on your weaker arm. That's the Shel Yad. For the Shel Rosh, it tells us, Ulazikaron Beinei Nechad, should be a remembrance between your eyes, not literally between your eyes, as we know. That's the difference between just having an interpretation from Torah Shebichsav and also having Torah Shebaalpeh. Those from the Monday Shiur know that Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaalpeh would be a closed book. So we have to interpret that that doesn't literally mean between your eyes. There are four parshios in Tefillin. The first parsha is Kadesh, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, Shvi of Parshas Bo. The second is V'hayaki V'acha, also the end of Parshas Bo. The third is Shema. And the fourth is V'hayayim Shamoa. They are all ma'akev. You need all four of them. You can come around. They are all ma'akev, or wherever you find a seat. They're all ma'akev, and they must appear both in the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Yud Beis and Yud Gimel count the Shel Yad and Shel Rosh as two separate mitzvos, two different mitzvos. It makes sense according to the Rambam because, as we'll see in a few minutes, they have two separate brachos, the Handiach on the Shel Yad and Al Mitzvahs Tfilin on the Shel Rosh. The Mishnah in Menachos that we quoted last week when we did Hochos Tzitzis, it's the same Mishnah. The Mishnah in Menachos, Taf Lamed Ches, Perak HaTcheles tells us, HaTcheles Eina Me'akeves Es HaLavan, HaLavan Eina Me'akeves Es HaTcheles, you know how big into Mishnayos I am, and then it says, Tfilo Shel Yad, Eina Me'akeves Es Shel Rosh, V'Shel Rosh Eina Me'akeves Es Shel Yad, and we will get to medical complications. People who have a stroke, a cerebral hemorrhage, or something like that, whatever, or people who have paralysis, whatever, so they can only put on one and not the other, so that's exactly what you do. You put on one and not the other. What is the order of the Parshios? So Rashi and most Rishonim hold, they should appear kesidron, the way they appear in the Torah. The way they appear in the Torah. The Shel Rosh is four compartments, the Shel Yad is all one compartment. It's four Parshios in each, but the Shel Rosh, you see the split when you look at the top of the Shel Rosh, it's four separate compartments. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam holds that V'Hayayim Shamoah goes before Shema, even though in the Torah, Shema is in Parshas Va'eschanan, and V'Hayayim Shamoah is in Parshas Ekev. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Vayom Shema goes before Shema, Makshinan Havayos Lahadadi. You juxtapose the two Vihayas next to each other. So Vihayaki Viacha and Vayom Shema go together, go next to each other. That is mentioned in parallel Gemaras. Get the Makoros down. That's mentioned. Makshinan Havayos Lahadadi is mentioned in Brachos Daf Tezvav, as well as for the Megillah guys. We haven't gotten up to this yet. We have a little while to go with Amud Yomi, but that's in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Rebeis, same Gemara. Brachos Tezvav, Megillah Yud Zayin Rebeis. You need Kisidron, you need them to be in order. We paskin like Rashi. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that'll be a problem. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what do? You skip a space, and you come back to write V'Hayayim Shamoah. What's the proper place, the Makom Hanachasam, what's the proper Makom from where you put your tefillin? So the Gemara in Menachos, a lot of Menachos last week and this week, and we still have Hilchos Mezuzah and Hilchos Sefer Torah to do in the coming weeks, so stay tuned. But the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, says you put it on the left arm. In fact, we opened Shir telling you how you spell the word Yadcha, Vayalacha Os Al Yadcha. You put it on the left arm, the Yadcha Yad Keha, the weaker arm. You put it on the Kibores, on the muscle. Ukshartam Al levavchem sima keneged halev. Al levavchem doesn't literally mean on your heart, but it means sima keneged halev, opposite your heart. Opposite your heart. Rashi in Menachos on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph tells us for the Shel Rosh, that was for the Shel Yad. For the Shel Rosh, you put it at the hairline until the end of where the head softens. In the middle between your eyes, not literally as we mentioned before, but in the middle between your eyes, where you put it at the hairline. The Gemara in Menachos on Daf Lamed Hey tells us that the kesher in the back of your head should not fall to your neck. It should be at the indentation. It should be at the indentation area of your head. What's the correct zman for tefillin? What's the correct time to put on tefillin? So the Gemara in Menachos on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis quotes the pasuk Lamed Vav Amud Beis, quotes the pasuk from Parshas Bo, V'shamarta Sachuka Hazos L'mo'adah Miyamim Yamima. And the Gemara says, again, the Shamarta, Esachuka Hazos L'mo'adah, Mapikei, Miyamim Yamima. And the Gemara says, mi yamim yamima, because it has mem in front of it. Mi yamim yamima, if that's all you want to write down because it's easier, because I'm talking too fast. Mi yamim yamima, the Gemara darshins, yamim, mi yamim velo kol yamim. Yamim velo leilos. Or yatsu shabbosos v'yamim tovim, that's not a time for tefillin. It doesn't include all of the yamim. It's like this week's parsha, ki v'yitzchak yikarei l'chazara, bi yitzchak velo kol yitzchak. Right, he had Yaakov and Esav. Esav wasn't part of the Nachla. Yaakov was. So that's the whenever you have a word in front of the actual word, an added whenever you have a letter in front of the word, so it comes to it often comes to exclude. But the main limud here is the Machlokas Hatanaim in the Gemara in Menachos Lamed Vav Amabez. The Gemara there quotes Machlokas Hatanaim on how to interpret Vishamarta Sachuka Zosam Adam Yamim Yamima. What chukah are we talking about? So this is a Machlokas from Yossi Hagalili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is how we paskin that it refers to Pesach, the Shamarta Sachuka Azos. In fact, it's at the end of Parshas Bo. That's why it's the end of Parshas Bo that deals with Karpin Pesach and in Yonim of Pesach. And if it refers to Pesach, so Mida Oraisa, you can put on tefillin at the days where Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees, but you can put on tefillin at these other days, Shabbos and Yom Tov, just midrabanan, you cannot. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, midah oraisa, you're not allowed to. In terms of wearing tefillin at night, from Mishayakir until Shkia is the mitzvah. The mitzvah again goes from the beginning of the day, from Mishayakir until Shkia, until sunset. You cannot wear tefillin at night because you might fall asleep. Shema Yishan Bahem, you might fall asleep. The Magen Avraham says that it's usur to sleep in your tefillin. Why? Because they need a guf naki. Maybe you're going to pass gas. Maybe you're going to go to the bathroom. You have to go to the bathroom. Your body's not going to be clean. So according to the Magen Avraham, it's usur to sleep in your tefillin because tefillin tzrich and guf naki. Tefillin is also an os. It's a sign given by the Ribono Shel Olam. So is Shabbos and so is Bris Mila. These are the three osos. These are the three signs. Again, Shabbos, tefillin, and Bris Mila. You always need two. There's an idea that you always need two. I have to find this, but you always need two. So we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, but we do keep them on at a bris. And in terms of keeping them on a bris, I'll just tell you that there's a minhug for wearing tefillin at a bris because of their relationship of them both being called an os. This is quoted by the Shach. Everything needs a makor Mordechai, right? So this is quoted by the Shach in Yoredeya. The Shach in Yoredeya, at the end, this is, it's in Hilchos Bris Mila. It was going to be either in Hilchos Tefillin or it was going to be in Hilchos Bris Mila. The Shach in Yoredeya, at the end of Simen Reis Samechei, Sivkatan Chavdalid, Simen Reis Samechei, Sivkatan Chavdalid, in Hilchos Mila, as well as the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tefillin, the Magen Avraham in Or HaChaim Simen Chaf Hei, Si'if Katan Chaf Ches, quotes the Hagos Minhagim and tells us this is a strong minhag. Minhag Yisrael Torahu, Torahi, and you should keep your tefillin on at a bris. Okay. In terms of tefillin being, the next subtopic is tefillin being a mitzvah saseh shazman grammo. There's a discussion about tefillin being a time-bound mitzvah. So the kolbo, quoted by the Rama, and the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf. Again, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf, as well as the Rama quoting the kolbo, tells us that women are pturos, women are exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin. And even if they want to, mochen biyadam, we do protest. And we do not allow them to put on tefillin because it needs a guf naki. And women, it's harder for them with the maintenance of their bodies, a clean body, that they, it's harder for them to keep a clean body. So women are pituros, and we, in fact, discourage them from putting on tefillin. The follow-up to that is that the tour, another makor and another inyan, but a tour, the tour, as well as the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kufyot, I always give you the parallel Gemaras because that's where dinim come from. The Torah, as well as the Gemara in Chulin and of Kuf Yud in Chulin, tells us that one who has stomach and intestinal issues, he has a stomach ache, he's going to have to go to the bathroom every few minutes, he's going to the bathroom a lot during davening, so he's putter because also he cannot keep a clean body. What's the bracha on tefillin? So we alluded to this before, but let's get the Makoros down. The Gemara in Menachos and of Lamed Vav Amad Aleph tells us that there are two brachos. There's the bracha of Lahaniach on the Shel Yad and Al Mitzvahs tefillin on the Shel Rosh. Sach, if you speak, Mevarich Shtayim, but really Losach, I should say this first. Losach, if you don't speak, Sach from the word Sicha. Losach, Mevarich Achas, if you don't speak, you make one bracha. Lehaniach, right? The one bracha is Lehaniach. Lehaniach Tefillin. But Sach, if you speak in between the two, so Mevarich Shtayim, you make two brachos. Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in Tosfos. What?
Who said that?
That's the Gemara. The Gemara in Menachos, Taf Lamed Vav Amad Aleph. Lamed Vav Amad Aleph. Rabbeinu Tam quoted in Tosos and Brachos at the end. Brachos has 64 blots, so this is Tosos and Brachos, Daf Samach Amad Beis. It's towards the top, it's the right baseline. It's like a thin Tosos there. Asher Ki Deshanu, the Ramat Chal Asher, I believe. So Tosos and Brachos, Daf Samach Amad Beis, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that you always make two brachos. Why? Because the Shel Rosh is the Gemar HaMitzvah. And anytime you're doing a Gemar HaMitzvah, you make a separate bracha. When the Gemar HaMitzvah is not part of the... Right, there's a separate Gemara Mitzvah, rather, so you make a separate bracha. And they're counted, even though they're counted as two separate mitzvos, and because they're counted as two separate mitzvos in this case, you would make two brachos. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, explains that the reason why, in addition to all of this, he doesn't dispute this, but he says, in addition to all this, in addition to Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in Tosfos and Brachos, Daf Samach Amud Beis, the Rav said that, just a nice idea, that you're making a bracha of al mitzvahs, and you should think about this tomorrow morning, and think about this and every morning we put on tefillin, when you tighten the shel rosh around your head, and you're making the bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin, you're what the Rav calls a gavra hamuchtar b'tefillin. The tefillin is a keser, it's a keter, it's a crown. Next, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So my Monday boys, this is repetition, but there we did a be'iyun. But here we'll do it Bikias, very quickly. The Gemara in Menachos, on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, lists off about half a dozen examples of tefillin and halacha mos misinai. Halacha mos misinai is when it comes to tefillin. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, also quotes about eight halacha mos misinai. We're not going to list all eight, but we'll tell you again, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Gimel Aleph. There are eight halacha mos misinai. They include the fact that tefillin have to be square, the fact that tefillin have to be black, the stitching, you'll look under the boxes, the stitching of the tefillin, the shin on the tefillin is also halacha mos misinai, and the ritzuos having to be black, which is why we are makbid. I remember one of my rabbis in elementary school, in the 7th grade, I guess, when we started putting on tefillin in November of 7th grade, he made sure that everybody had, I guess I was the first one in the class to put on tefillin, but that the black is facing out, because the ritzuos having to be black is halacha mos misinai.
I have a few, I've got two black signs.
There's the next din is the ksiva, the font, when you write the tefillin. So the Gemara Menachos on Daf Lamed Dalid Amud Aleph 34a tells us that the shel yad is made of one klaf. We alluded to this before. If you look at the shel rosh, there are four different compartments. The shel yad is made of one klaf. The shel rosh is made of four separate klafim. Because of the four batim, there's a machlokes, which between the shel yad and the shel rosh should be written first. According to the Rama, the Shel Yad should be written first because it appears first in the Torah, Parshas Bo. But the Rama also plays devil's advocate, and he says that the Shel Rosh should be written first. Maybe the Shel Rosh should be written first because it's a higher level of Kedusha. So you have that Malam Bakodesh Emo reading, you have the higher level of Kedusha by the Shel Rosh, but you also have the fact that the Shel Yad, Parshas Bo, obviously comes before Parshas Vayeschanan. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Simen Reish Ayin Aleph, Siv Chav Gimel tells us that the tefillin must be written with special D.O., special black, long-lasting ink. That's the Shulchan Aruch Nirodeh Siman Reishai and Aleph. The Gemara in Menachos Daf Chav Tes tells us that you must make sure that no letter is touching each other. It's the din of what's called Mukaf Klaf, Mukaf Gvil, that around each letter there's a little bit of klaf, that they're not touching each other, that there are spaces in between the letters. Even the last letter has to be surrounded by klaf on all sides. It's a machlokas, whether it's a hilchasa b'lo taima, it's a halacha without a reason, or it's a halacha l'mosh b'sinai, but either way, it's what's called mukaf gvil, gvil with a vav. There are three traditional fonts, three traditional ksavs, ksavim, that we have. One is called the Beis Yosef. This is in terms of, it's called ksav Beis Yosef. This is, ironically, it's what Ashkenazim follow. not the Beit Yosef, but, you know, the Beis Yosef. The second is the Ksav Ari, which is basically the same as the Beis Yosef. It's what Hasidim follow, but there are two most noticeable differences. Probably two or three very noticeable differences. One is the Tzadi. In the Ksav Ari, the leg of the Tzadi in Ksav Ashuris, the right leg, just picture it for yourself, faces backwards and not upwards. Right, that right leg. Not the leg, but the right point. The top faces backwards and not upwards. The Ches is also, in the Ksav Beis Yosef, the Ches is made up of two Zions with a crown on top. But the Ari, this is in Yonei Stam, in Ksav, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos. But the Ksav Ari is a Vav and Zion. If you look carefully, you'll see the Vav and Zion with the crown on top. And this is Kisrei Sefer Torah, Kisrei Mezuzos, Kisrei Tefillin. What?
Which letter is this?
This is the Ari, the Ksav Ari is the Vav and Zion with the crown on top. Oh, to what? Yeah. To make the Ches. And the third Ksav is what's called Ksav Velish. Velish is Vav, Ayin, Lamed Yud Shin. Velish. That's the traditional Tzfardi Ksav, which you'll see in a stand-up Sefer Torah. It's more blocky print, meaning the letters don't come to a point. The Shin is a flat base, as opposed to a pointy base. And that's that. Right, flatter shins, etc. Next, chatzitza. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza, something interrupting, something serving as a separation between your body and the tefillin. The Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Yud Tes, beginning of the second parak. So the Gemara in Zvachim in the second parak, Daf Yud Tes, tells us this comes from the Big Day Kahuna and the Kohen Gadol himself. The Kohen Gadol would not wear his shel yad, but does wear his shel rosh in addition to the mikbas, because there's room for both. When there's room for both, you could put your shel rosh on, you could put your mikbas, your turban on, and that's fine. The Rush says, you see there's a problem of chatzitza, and that's why he can't put tefillin on top of the Big Day Kahuna. In his head, so he can, on his head, he can fit both. But the shel yad, he can't. And the Rashba disagrees with the Rush. Again, the Rush said what we just quoted. That's why you can't put tefillin on top of the Big Day Kahuna. But the Rashba disagrees, and we paskin against the Rush. We paskin like the Rush, like the first opinion. That there's a problem of chatzitza. We do pass like the Rashba by one case, that when he says the chatzitza does not apply to Ritzuos. According to the Rashba, chatzitza does not apply to the straps of the tefillin, and that's how we pass it. But, so that's that.
Can you wear a bracelet?
No, that's not, it doesn't apply to the Ritzuos. That's not, Ritzuos or the tefillin Ritzuos. Except by the Makom Hakshira of the Shel Yad, where you're tying the Shel Yad, Al Yadcha, and the Makom Hakshira of the Shel Rosh, Bein Einecha. But wrapping around is not a problem of Chatzitza, or even the Krichos, it's not a problem of Chatzitza. The Mishnah Brura says that for a Shel Yad, for the Shel Yad, you may wear it on a cast, meaning following what I just said from the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Yotes, for the Shel Yad, according to the Mishnah Brura, you may wear it on a cast, on top of a cast, but make sure it's covered, because V'haya l'cha l'os al yadcha, l'cha l'os dersh, v'lo la'acherim l'os. L'cha l'os, v'lo la'acherim l'os, it should be concealed. A toupee is a problem of chatzitza, besides it looking stupid and everybody being able to tell. It's the dumbest thing ever, the dumbest invention. Like, just take it like a man. Okay, you lost your hair, fine. But some people, I don't know, they think they're fooling the world. Everybody could tell. A toupee is a problem of a chatzitza, and that's why real Jews, from Jews, if you're keeping the halacha, a toupee is a chatzitza, because Hashem knows all. A toupee is a problem of a chatzitza. Take it off when putting on the shel rosh. Once you take it off and you're going to minyan, you're davening tefillah b'tzibur, then everybody can tell. So you look stupid anyway. So why are you putting it on? The dumbest thing ever. And we continue. So, bandage. You have a bandage, so you put tefillin on, albeit without a bracha. I'm talking about like a heavy bandage, a bandage that covers most of your arm. This is quoted in the Mishnah Brura, Simen Chav Zayin, in Hilchos Tefillin, Se'iv Katan Yud Ches. Chav Zayin Yud Ches, by the Mishnah Brura, who says that a bandage you could put on, albeit without a bracha. There are certain medical issues we alluded to before. For a stroke, so it's that's a cerebral hemorrhage, that's the official term. So there's no shel rosh, you don't put on a shel rosh if you just had a stroke. But you can put on the shel yad, and that's also a raya from the Mishnah in Parakat Cheles, in Menachos Taflam Ches. We quoted last week, we quoted this week, that the Shelyad is not Makiv, the Shelyosh is not Makiv, the Shelyad. If you have paralysis, Rav Moshe says, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the area Shir goes by where we don't quote Rav Moshe, the Gadol Hador of the previous door. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says it depends if you've lost blood supply. That's going to be the determinant. Tefillin also have Kedusha. So what halachos does this speak of? Does this speak to? So this is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Mem Tes. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Mem Tes tells us, Tefillin tzrichin gufnaki. We quoted this before, that tefillin need a clean body. You may not pass gas in tefillin. You may not enter or go to a bathroom while wearing tefillin, or the loo, while wearing your tefillin to the toilet. This applies to both the shel rosh and the shel yad. You are allowed to bring your talis into the bathroom. A lot of people just don't do it. You know, tavu aleichem bracha, but technically you are allowed to walk in with your talis. A lot of people don't do. But if you enter a bathroom, the Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim, Simen Mem Gimel, Se'if Hei, tells us you must keep your tefillin at least 4 amos away from the bathroom. That was in the old bathrooms, which are much dirtier. Our bathrooms are much cleaner, so the din of Richuk Dalad Amos doesn't apply, but you're still not allowed to walk in with your tefillin. He's talking about like bringing tefillin in, maybe a kiss, besoch, kiss. You have it in the tefillin bag, but you're not allowed to walk into the loo. The only thing to know, you're not allowed to walk into the toilet with your tefillin. The Kaf HaChaim in Simen Mem Gimel. The Kaf HaChaim in Hilchos Tefillin, Simen Mem Gimel, Sivkatam Lamed, says that one should be machmir never to bring tefillin into a bathroom, even if it's put in a kiss besoch kiss, even if it's put in a pocket within a pocket or a tefillin bag within a tefillin bag. You have 2 tefillin bags. That's why, by the way, that whole thing was created, that the people who have the plastics on top of their, right, they have an extra plastic bag on top of their regular tefillin bag. There are people who just walk around with a tefillin bag, but the plastic bag on top of the tefillin bag, so one is for protection if you're walking out in the rain or something like that. But the other is that if you thought you need to bring it into a bathroom or to put it, you know, to put it by the toilet, by the loo, we try to, you know, we're an equal opportunity. We try to mention both so that everybody understands our English language. So if you would need to, and it's a shasat chak, it's an emergency pressing situation, and you really needed to leave it there, so that's why there's a double kiss. But he says, even if it's already, even if it's in a kiss, besoch, kiss. L'maisa me'ikra din, most posim are mekil, but we try to be machmir. The follow-up question, Kobe, is what about other sifrei kodesh? So for this, the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Mem Gimel, Sif Katan Chaf Hei, Mem Gimel Chaf Hei, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Mem Gimel Chaf Hei, a machlokas haposkim, if you need a kli besoch kli, or is one covering enough? Do you need a double covering, or is one covering enough? Those who are mekil have what to rely on. Why? Because A, the covering the sefer itself is considered as if it's already in a kiss. And B, some hold that our print doesn't even have real kedusha. Many people oppose that, but fine. What about sleeping in tefillin? So we alluded to this before, but what about sleeping in tefillin? So we have to give you the makoros, right? The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, Perak HaYashi, in the second parak of Sukkah, which also has the Gemara about Mitzdayer. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Vav, quotes a machlokes, whether we distinguish between Sheinas Keva and Sheinas Arai. Sleeping that's temporary, you know, like a nap, or that's Sheinas Arai, or Sheinas Keva, going to sleep at night. Sukkah Chavav Maralev. The Gemara in Brachos, and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, follows this up. Brachos, Chav Gimel Amud Beis, that one should not hold tefillin in his hand and daven, and one shouldn't sleep until, you shouldn't just hold it bare. And one shouldn't sleep in tefillin, no matter if it's a Sheinas Keva or Sheinas Arai, because we're worried that the tefillin might slip out of his hand. You also worry that the person will pass gas. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Dalid, Halacha Tesvav. Rambam, Hilchos Tefillin, Dalid, Tesvav, tells us that since tefillin need a clean body, since tefillin tzrichin gufnaki, that's why it's usher to sleep in them. And it doesn't make a difference. We're machmir. You're not allowed to sleep in them if you're taking a nap, if you're taking, you know, if you're resting for a half hour, or even if you're going to sleep for 6 hours. Okay. If you want to cover them, you can cover them with a cloth, but we still try to be machmir. Yeah. You know, question? Okay. If you need to. What's the din of tefillin? Yeah.
If one is to pass gas, can they make a gap between them to put in with their hands?
So that's the idea of a cloth. That's the idea of a cloth. You can have a cloth, yeah. You can put a cloth there if you're concerned. What's the din of tefillin in a cemetery? So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Ches The beginning of Perak Misha Mesa Mutalafanov, which is going to be a central makor for our first topic of Kayetzman, Hilchos Aninos and Avelos, topics 36 and 37, something like that, 35 and 36, 34, 35, something like that. What's the din of tefillin in a cemetery? We have yet a way to go. The night is young. What's the din? We're just going to go straight. We're going to go all night. Past the Kabachvad, we're going to go for 8 hours, we're going to do all 40 topics in 8 hours. So what's the din? It certainly feels like that. What's the din of tefillin in a cemetery? So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, as well as the Magen Avraham in Siman Mem Hey, Seif Katan Aleph, Mem Hey Aleph, tells us that one may not bring tefillin into a cemetery or within Daudanos of a mace because of Loig LaRush. We had this with the tzitzis last week, that you're allowed to wear tzitzis in a cemetery, but you have to tuck it in. The idea is tucking it in. People say, oh, I can't come to a cemetery with tzitzis. No, that's not true. You can wear tzitzis in a cemetery, you just have to tuck it in. It has to be covered. So Loig LaRush, like we mentioned last week, mocking the dead who are poor of mitzvos, mocking the poor, those who are dead cannot perform mitzvos. Loeg is with an ayin, by the way. But if there's a mechitza in a cemetery, you may bring the tefillin up to the cemetery mechitza. When we say that if you cover the tefillin well, you can bring them into a bathroom or a toilet or a cemetery, that includes the ritzuos. May you bring, but then the follow-up question is, may you bring tefillin into the outer room of a bathroom loo or shower area? So if everyone is standing there clothed, even l'chadchilo, you may put tefillin on there and make a bracha. But in an area where half the people are clothed and half of them are not, which is a lot of those areas, you may not put them on l'chadchilo, and kach nemra halacha. You're not supposed to be bringing them into that area. If they're already on you, you don't need to take them off. But in the inner area where no one is clothed, even if the tefillin are already on you, you have to take them off. If you find yourself in a mikvah with tefillin on, I don't know how you would. I mean, no, the only thing you would is if you're like the mikvah man, if you're in charge of, you know, letting people into rooms in the fancy places where they have rooms, dial 1-1 before you go in, 1-1 when you come out. So it's not like Yerushalayim where it's Hamish. You know, 45 people just go in at the same time. Mamash Birabuvia, it's a whole Shana Bet Shalom, and everyone just walks in. So even if the tefillin are right, you have to take them off. If you find yourself in a mikvah with tefillin on, as long as no one's around, you may keep them on. Any davar shebekdusha, you're not allowed to bring into a bathhouse, unless they are covered well. But we try not to bring them in at all. Another subtopic is bedika. How often must tefillin be checked? So the Shulchan Aruch actually says, Meikra Din Sami, that tefillin ain't tzrichin bedika olamis. Tefillin never need to be checked. However, that's the Shulchan Aruch. But the Mechilta, who is a Tana, by the way, for those 5,000 years of Torah history, guys, the Mechilta, who is a Tana, says that you should check it once a year. Because as we mentioned before, the Pasuk of Vishamarta is a hybrid of Karban Pesach, referring to Karban Pesach, that's the end of Parshas Bo, that's why it's there, and Tfilin. Vishamarta Sachuka Azos L'moadah Miyamim Yamima Machlokes Rabbi Yossi Taglili and Rabbi Akiva. Look at your notes, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. That it's only the Isser's only Midrabanan, but it's still an Isser, is a hybrid of Karban Pesach and Tefillin. Next, the subtopic of the bracha of Lishmor Chukav. Huh? Lishmor Chukav. I thought we only had Lehaniach and Amitvas. That's why you come to 40 topics, to learn something. Lishmor Chukav. The Gemara in Brachos, Andaf Mem Dalad Amud Beis. This is the last Amud of Parakeitz Mavarchin, my favorite Parak in Shas. My favorite Masechta, my favorite Parak in Shas. Keitz Mavarchin Ala Peros. The end deals with the bracha achrona on tefillin. It's the only bracha achrona that you do not say on food. You say on non-food. The Gemara in Brachos daf Mem Dalad Amud Beis. The bracha achrona of the Bnei Ma'arava, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, when taking off their tefillin is called Lishmor Chukav. Why? Because it's based on when you take off your tefillin in Uvalet Zion. We don't take off our tefillin in Uvalet Zion. We don't take off our tefillin at Aleinu. We wait till the end of davening. Aleinu feels disrespected and it comes to God. We're not telling that joke right now. But there are a couple of people here who know that joke because they heard it from me. But it will tell it off the recording after Shir. However, the Bnei Ma'arava, the Eretz Yisrael, take off the tefillin, Lishmor Chukav, because it says in Uvalet Zion, Lishmor Chukecha ba'olam hazeh, v'nizkeh v'nichyeh, v'nirash tovu racha l'chai olam haba. So, but there's a minog on Rosh Chodesh to take off our tefillin before Musaf. And some specifically do this at the end of Uvalet Zion, Lishmor Chukecha ba'olam hazeh, as a zecher to the Bnei Ma'arava. The Bnei Marava understood Rabbi Yossi in Menachos, again back to that Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi Aglil and Rabbi Akiva in Menachos, Lamedvav Mudbeis, as a chiyuv to take them off, and not an iser to put them on at night. Take them off before nighttime. People in Yerushalayim, in the Old City, who have the minhag to wear the tefillin all day, you'll see them taking off the tefillin before Shkia. On Rosh Chodesh, we take off our tefillin before Musaf, whether before the Kaddish, after the Kaddish, depends on whether the Kaddish is part of Musaf or it's before Musaf, the Chatzi Kaddish. But we take off our tefillin before Musaf, so that just has different minhagim as to whether the Kaddish belongs to the Shachris or whether it belongs to Musaf. But we take off our tefillin before Musaf because in Kedusha it says Keser, Keser Yitnu Lecha. However, right, and let's just finish the thought, it's not appropriate to be wearing our Keter, our Keser, when we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Keser. There are two objections, and this is why, based on these two objections, you should keep your tefillin on throughout Musaf on Rosh Chodesh if you're davening b'yechidus. If you're davening in a minyan, so you take them off before. But if you're davening b'yechidus, if you find yourself, I don't know, whatever, you're sick or something like that, and you're davening b'yechidus on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, maybe, so just keep this in mind. So you keep your tefillin on. Why? Because there are two objections to taking your tefillin off. The first is the Gemara in Brachos on the Vav Amud Aleph at the bottom tells us that tefillin is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Keser. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has tefillin. And the Gemara in Brachos on the Vav asks which parshios are written in Hashem's tefillin. So one of them is Ulesitcha Elyon B'chad Beisa. That's the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo before the Tochacha. Ulesitcha Elyon Al Kol Avoyim, etc. Right, L'Sila L'Shem Ulesifar. So, very good. So they're one and the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. We wear tefillin. Why are we distinguishing between the two? And the second objection is that should only apply to those who daven Nusach Sfar, because Keter Yitnu Lecha, Keser Yitnu Lecha is only a Nusach Sfar. Nusach Ashkenaz, we say Nekadesh, we say Naritcha, we don't say Keser. It's for this reason, again, that if you find yourself davening B'Yechidos on Rosh Chodesh, you may leave your tefillin on until the end of davening. It's not an Isser, you know, to have your tefillin on. The final question is, are tefillin Mukta? No, just in deference to this, to this Keser Yitnu Lecha, that's all.
But like, we don't say it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. It's one of the halachic misconceptions, topic 41 in June. Okay. Tefillin are a kli shemalachtoli iser. Now, this is one of the times, and we have this many times in 40 topics, where it overlaps with another one of the topics. When we do Hilchos Shabbos after Chanukah, when we do Hilchos Shabbos, 4 or 5 weeks of Hilchos Shabbos, so one of the weeks is Mukta. So we'll discuss this then, but we're discussing it now just to make sure we take care of it. Are tefillin Mukta? So tefillin are of the category in Hilchos Mukta known as a klisha malachdo li iser, which you may move litzarach gufo, but not mechama litzel, not to protect the tefillin. But you're allowed to move it if you need...
Leheter,
yeah. Well, no, tefillin are klisha malachdo li iser, Mordechai. Klisha malachdo li iser, not a tfi, a klisha malachdo leheter. Letzorach gufo. There's also the idea of hesach hadas, not having your mind wander to another, to think about something else when you're wearing a tefillin. The Rush quotes Rabbeinu Yonah that you may not think inappropriate. Actually, I should just say before that a kli, right, tefillin or a klish malachtali iser, which you may move letzorach gufo or umakomo, if you need the place of the item or you need the actual, right? So that's the tzorach gufo or umakomo, you may move, but not mechama letzel. I only said legufo, but it's also umakomo. Hesach hadas. So the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, you may not think inappropriate thoughts or thoughts that are the antithesis of tefillin. But technically speaking, neutral thoughts, sports, stocks, or mutter. You should focus on your tefillin. And another thing also, don't talk in your tefillin. Don't talk in your tefillin. Wait till the end of the, you know, davening. Don't talk in your tefillin. The Aruch HaShulchan says that it's only usher to be mesiach das bizman ha-mitzvah. This goes for the people who wear tefillin all day. So it's not bizman ha-mitzvah. You're wearing tefillin at 2 p.m. That's great. Ashrecha. That's wonderful if you're able to keep, you know, a clean mind. But it's only usher to be mesiach das, to think about other things, bizman ha-mitzvah. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yudalid. We close with this Gemara and with another Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yudalid tells us that it's an absolute chiyuv that you must have your tefillin on while you recite Kriya Shema and Shemona Esrei, because otherwise, the Gemara quotes Ula at the bottom of Yudalid, if I remember correctly, that it's as if you're testifying falsely. You fulfilled mitzvahs kriya shema, but you're over avera by not wearing tefillin. And the Ri is quoted as saying, no, you didn't even do the mitzvah properly. Because you're speaking about, you're quoting the psukim that are in the bottom of the tefillin, Shema, Vayam, Shamoa, and you're not wearing your tefillin? That's Neod Eda Sheker Liatzmo. You're testifying falsely. The Gemara in Sukkah, and we close with this finally, Shabbat finally, the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Mem Vav tells us that if you put tefillin on a few times during the day, you make a bracha each time. You make a bracha each time, Sukkah Mem Vav. Unless when you take them off, you have in mind to put them back on.
More. That's interesting.